The Round with Richard Kaufman. Sunday, March the 12th, 2017.
When I decided to put together a podcast series, one of the golfers I really wanted to tell his story was SSP Chaurasia. This is a chance for the largely untold tales to have a platform, not in bite-sized forms, but where they can really play out in the words of the golfer themselves. Most kids in India grow up wanting to be a cricketer, but when your dad is the greenkeeper at the local golf course, Shiv Shankar Prad Chaurasia had other ideas. What he lacks in distance off the tee, SSP makes up for with a mix of self-belief, an iron will, tons of determination, and a short game to die for. Achieving against the odds, something he's done throughout his life, as was the case in 2017 at his national championship, the Indian Open.
To be honest, the DLF golf course is one of the tough golf courses I'm playing my career. And the final round was like, I was like two short or three short front. I don't remember exactly, but anyway. And the pressure, like, it's huge because, you know, I'm just repeat the title. So, and all the big players there, like, so I was thinking, oh my God. And finally, I'm just playing very good. I'm shooting like very low number and win by 8 shot. So that was my very interesting round. Like,
it's a DLF Golf and Country Club. I mean, it's billed as the hardest golf course in India. Now, before the tournament started, I looked at the yardage and it says 7,600 yards off the back tee. Had you played that golf course much beforehand?
No.
So you must have heard the rumours.
Yeah, I heard lots of like the very tough greens, very tough fairways and everything. Make it super tough, nobody going to play like that. That all the negative things. And so the tournament start from the Thursday. So I was take flight Sunday night and reaching Sunday night and then play two practice rounds, like Monday and Tuesday. And then Pro-Am. So basically, I'm playing three rounds before the tournament. So I just find out how to play that course. So I get it. I know it's very important how where you place the ball.
Because I remember after the Wednesday press conference, because you as the defending champion had a press conference, and I came up to you and I asked you, what do you think of the course? And you just laughed and said, don't ask me that. So, I mean, I wasn't sure what that meant. I mean, can you tell me now what you meant?
No, actually, I was not thinking I'm getting win, so to be honest, because I was a little bit scared because of the golf course is so tight. I never play like that kind of golf course before. So I'm a little bit nervousing, to be honest. Yeah? And I'm thinking I can maybe repeat the title. So how? Because the golf course is so tough. So that kind of is going on in my mind. So I was thinking, okay. So I make it plan and then slowly, slowly, I'll do it.
Because 2016, you won at Delhi Golf Club.
Yeah.
That's tight, but you felt that DLF was even tighter.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because it's a long and very tight. The greens are very tough, very tricky, and the fairway very narrow, some of fairways.
So going into that final round, the official yardage off the back tee, 7,600 yards. Mm-hmm. The official scorecard that you players are given at the start of the week was over 7,300 yards. Mm-hmm. But you must have been pretty happy with the way the European Tour set it up, because for that final round, you're leading by 2 shots. Mm-hmm. The official yardage was only just over 7,000 yards.
Exactly, yeah. Obviously, I'm very happy because I feel a little bit shorter. Otherwise, it's too long. The sum of tee, I finished the hole, like, and I saw that, oh, the tee is going far, front, like 30, 40 yards. So I was feeling very good. Oh, good for me. So that was the good thing, yeah.
To defend a title would be fantastic. To defend your national title, obviously, has great significance. That Sunday morning, then, you have this two-shot lead. The closest challenges you have are both what you'd call Asian Tour players, really. Carlos Pigem of Spain and Gavin Green of Malaysia. They're playing the final round with you. Are you now, in terms of tackling this golf course, feeling confident, more confident than you were maybe on Thursday morning teeing it up?
Well, Thursday morning when I was tee off, I say I play already three practice rounds, so I know how to I play the course. So I'm just focusing the round, like playing the shot by shot, to be honest. So I know it's very important you have to hit fairway here. The fairway is very important. If you miss the fairway, it's very tough to get like make a par or whatever birdie. So I'm just trying to hit the straight ball, fairway and green, and I get the some birdies. So.
Well, you did it to perfection. It's an incredible golf course. If no one's seen the DLF Golf and Country Club, there's bunkers with faces that go up about 25 feet, some of them. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. You've played all over the world. Have you ever seen a golf course like that?
No, to be honest, no. But the one thing, I think the DLF golf course is a future golf course because you can see the long, and some golf courses are short and tricky, but this one is totally different if you compare any other golf courses. So that's why I would say this is like future golf course. Like the green make it a little bit tough, lots of slope on the green, and the fairway also like not flat, like slopies, lots of slope on the fairway. So I would say this is the future golf course. You can see like next few years, most of the golf course design like similar kind of.
Did it help going into that final round knowing you were already an Indian Open champion? Do you think that helped you?
Well, yes. I know I'm already win the Indian Open and I'm still leading the tournament final round. So I have a big pressure. Like, really, I'm very nervous. I was thinking, oh, come on, you do it. Because before I was like fourth time I came second Indian Open. And then I won 2016 and then 17 again. Happened the same thing. I say, what I'm doing. It's so many negative thing going on in my mind. So I say, come on, take out all the negative thing and think positive.
I mean, I hate to go on about this golf course, but that week, and it's the first time there was a European Tour event there, there was every number between 1 and 12 scored by, you know, some of the best players in the world. You mentioned, you know, there were some big name players there, the likes of Rafa Cabrera Bello. You don't often see sevens and eights and nines and tens, 11s or 12 as well. I mean, it was incredible. How did you keep them away? Because the first 3 days, you only had, what, three bogeys on the cart?
Yeah, that's why I'm just trying to make it hit the straight shot. Doesn't matter, like, what I'm hitting the second shot. So the tee off, you have to hit straight. So that's the main key, like, same as Delhi Golf Club. You have to hit the fairway. Doesn't matter you hit the second shot 5-iron or 3-iron, but you have to hit the first shot fairway. Same, I just do it. And obviously, I'm putting well that week, and putting and chipping, so.
So you start off with a two-shot lead. Your two closest challengers have, to be honest, fairly miserable days. Carlos Puigem ends up shooting 78. Gavin Green ends up shooting 75. And instead of things tightening up, you started to push away even early on in that final round.
Yeah.
How aware are you, obviously how your playing partners are doing, how aware are you though that you're now increasing that gap at the top?
To be honest, I'm just focusing my game. I don't want to see any other game because it's so much focus. So I do it because I'm just focusing a lot, and before I came the tournament, I'm practicing a lot, I'm working hard. Mentally, I do lots of yoga before, meditation before I came. Still, I'm doing the meditation. So, yeah.
Would you do that the morning of?
Normally, I do evening. If my tee off is early morning, then I'll do yoga after finish everything. Or if I'm late tee off, then I'll do before tee off.
So you birdie the fourth, you drop a couple of shots, 6 and 7, and do you start to get a little anxious at this point?
Yeah, I was nervous when I was making bogey like 5 and 6. So I feel a little bit nervous. I say, I have to do better. Otherwise, if I'm making bogey like this, so I'm losing match. So, and then suddenly I make a couple of birdie and then come back again to lead.
And not only are you leading now, the rest are suddenly a mile away. I was commentating on that event, and from a commentary point of view, you made it quite boring. But when you're in that position, I mean, obviously it's pure excitement, but when you go 6, 7, and then you go 8 shots clear of the rest of the field, are you able to just remain focused, or does your mind now start wandering towards the fact that I'm nearly there?
To be honest, I'm just focusing my game, and I'm just following like shot by shot. I'm not seeing the leaderboard. I know I'm still leading. I know I'm leading by some shots. Doesn't took anything like, you know, I'm leading, I'm getting to win tournament. I'm just focusing my every shot by shot.
But do you know with 2 holes left
how
big your lead is?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? So you've seen the leaderboard?
I know everything. I know everything because I saw the leaderboard and everything. But the focus is so strong, so doesn't hit anything like negative thing, so which is very good.
I've got to say, in terms of a victory, there was no real tension because you had this big lead. But I've got to say, it was still fairly
memorable, the way you played 17 and 18, even with that big lead. 17 is the most incredible hole, isn't it? There's these rocks, I think there's 15,000 of them, isn't there?
Yeah,
going up
right,
to the green. Yeah. And you hit one of them, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was 8 shot leading and 2 hole left. We are in 17 tee box, so I'm just chatting my nephew. I say, Puneet,
he's caddying for you.
He was my caddy, so I was just chatting, tell me what the club I'm hitting. He said, whatever you hit, just hit the center fairway. I said, wow, that's a great answer.
Top caddy, eh?
Yeah. So, okay, so I took 8-iron, middle of the fairway, and from there it's like 75 yards to the pin, and the wind is like blowing, left-right headwind. So my nephew say, oh, you can hit 7-iron. I say, look, if I hit a 7-iron, I think I'm getting trouble, because the 7-iron, I don't think so, it's good enough. So give me the 6-iron, I hit the rock, anything, it's come back, so which is good. Otherwise, I can make it up and down from the back of the green. So he said, okay, hit. So I took it 6-iron. I'm just hitting on the rock straight away. The one bounce, second bounce, hit on the rock, and then come back on the middle of the green. So I was laughing. I said, wow, what a call.
You know it's your day, don't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of played for it then?
Yeah.
That's incredible, really. I didn't know that. Because you feel like maybe you overclubbed. But you...
Yeah, I know the overclub.
On purpose,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, purposely I hit the overclub.
And it landed on the green. You ended up making par as well. And now you've got this big lead heading down to the 18th. You know it's your day when you hit the rocks and it stays dry. And 18, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anyone play 3 wedges.
Did you
have any wedges in a par 5 that you hit?
Well, 2 wedges, actually.
Two wedges and an 8-iron?
A 9-iron.
A 9-iron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so, your strategy on that 18th hole then?
Yeah. So I was 8-shot lead, and I saw like PGS Carlos, he hit twice a left, Gavin Green hit right, and my hand is shaking. I know I'm lead by 8 shot, but somehow I'm just looking, they hit like miles away left or right. I say, oh my God, what I'm doing now?
Because we should explain, you're perched up almost like you're on a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
There's water all the way down the left-hand side,
yeah.
Which you can't see much of it because it's just like over a cliff edge.
Exactly.
And then to the right-hand side, there's just trees.
Trees and jungle a little bit. So from the tee, you can't see much white. So I take it, and you have to carry like 225 yards to carry the hazard. So I was thinking what club I'm using, driver or three wood. Suddenly I was decided, oh no, it's 3 wood, fine, because I'm already hitting 3 times of 3 wood. So take a 3 wood and off the deck, I don't put the tee, off the deck and hit a solid one. I was hitting like rock, middle of the fairway. I say, oh, now it's over everything. And then from there, I was thinking I hit a 5-iron to carry everything or play 60 degree lob wedge short of the hazard. So I was thinking, if I hit a missed shot, because it's already I'm under pressure, I know I'm leading by 8 shot, but still, why I'm wasting my score? So take a lob wedge, play there, and then third shot play 9-iron, and then second shot I was hitting like 54. So basically two lob wedge, sand wedge, and 9-iron. So when I took the club, like 60 degrees, second shot, and I talked to my nephew, I say, everybody laughing, you know? I say, why? I say, because I'm playing par 5 and 8 shot leading, and I'm hitting second shot, 60 degree lob wedge. I said, no problem, I'll just play. So I just play for the bogey that hole.
Yeah, because you asked on social media after the event if everyone was laughing at the way you played the 18. But there was no embarrassment because you got yourself into this position.
Yeah.
You didn't want to do anything,
it,
that might be a horror. I mean, it was an extremely unlikely scenario, but you just wanted to make sure there was nobody's hands on that trophy but yourself.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I do, yeah.
So what was that feeling like, defending your title, become a European Tour winner again, to be the Indian Open champion again, which for you is like a major championship? What was that feeling like when you actually knew it was over?
Well, I'm defending the title, so I'm very happy. And to be honest, it's a national open and I win twice, so that's a different thing, like different level. I was, I'm open, like in Indian Open, win twice, so that's a very good, like very few people do in India, like Jyoti and Ali Sher, and third I think is me. So that's a very, very prestigious. Like, you know, I was thinking, oh, that's a achieve another level, and I have to go next level now.
So when you say, because I thought you were going to choose as the round, the most significant round maybe in your career, as the 2016 Indian Open, because you touched on it, you'd been four times a runner-up before. That was at Delhi Golf Club. You're up against kind of the number one player in India at the time, in Anirban Lahiri. It was a really tight, nervous finish. And it obviously, I thought, would have the greatest significance because it got you your European Tour card back. As I said, it was the winning moment for you, a national title that for many, many years you'd been knocking on the door.
Exactly.
But you've chosen this one at DLF Golf and Country Club, the 2017 Indian Open, as more significant. I'm just trying to understand completely why.
When the announced tournament, 2017, when they announced the tournament, DLF Golf Club, I said, oh my God, Delhi Golf Club, I think more better for me, you know, because I know how to play Delhi Golf Club and I'm used to be play there. I'm always playing good there. So I said, okay, no problem. We won one time, so let's see, try again. If win again, otherwise, whatever, just play my own game. So, and suddenly after third round, I'm leading the tournament. So it's I'm excitement. I was the Saturday night, I was talking to my wife because she was there. I say, I'm leading by 2 shots and tomorrow is final round. I have a big pressure, what I'll do now. He said, just come down and play your game. Doesn't matter, it's happened, whatever it's happened. Just you enjoy and playing your game. I say, yeah, you're right. You can say very easily, but it's tough. So, and the next day, the same thing I'm following. I'm just enjoying my days and finally I win the tournament.
You make it sound so easy. I mean, your wife's name's Sumantini?
Sumantini, yeah.
Sumantini. She was in tears, wasn't she? Yeah. 2015, when you finished second again, the fourth time.
Third round, final round, after finish the playoffs, so Anirban win.
Oh, after you lost in 2015, yeah.
So I was lost in playoffs, so I was a little bit disappointed. So anyway, but I'm looking at my wife, she was start crying. I said, what are you doing? Why are you crying? No, this is easy to win. Why are you playing like this? I said, it's happened, golf. It's anything. Sometime I can win the same way. Huh? She said, no, it's very easy. You win like so many shots and then how can you lose the tournament? I said, oh my God, how can I explain her? I said, okay, you relax. You come down. So after a few minutes, she's come down and then I talked to her. This is golf and, you know, this happened every single prayer. So that's my turn. Maybe next time I'm the Anirban place and Anirban is my place. So it's happened. And exactly same thing happened the next year.
Yeah. You were first and,
yeah,
he was second. And he was second.
He was second.
But he wasn't second to you in 2017.
Yeah.
He wasn't. Yeah. But, I mean, it's been an incredible journey to be a four-time European Tour winner. Of course, there's still more to come from you. I know you hope. But, I mean, if we can go back, because you come from this background, which your story has been told, but it'd be nice to get that story told to hopefully a bigger and an audience that maybe doesn't know that much about you. You're the son of a greenkeeper.
My father, he was working in the golf course. Yes, he was a greenkeeper, and that's how I start golf. And my father always, he was telling me, go school, study. I say, yeah, I'm going to school. I'm going everyday school, but I'm not complete my school. But my more focus in the golf always. So my father was say, why are you playing golf? It's a very expensive game. We cannot afford. Like, I'm doing job here and I get like very reasonable salary. And the golf is very expensive. I cannot buy your ball and shoe and whatever, the golf set and everything. That time I was kid, but I don't listen anything, you know. I said, I just play golf. So but that's how I start.
You're at Rural Kolkata Golf Club. You're in the servant quarters, is that right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely right.
So what's that like? I mean, because, you know.
There is a staff quarter. Right. Staff quarter. Not servant quarter. Right. Staff quarter. And then hole number 9, left side, there is a few staff quarters. So we live there. It's a house. It's like a two-bedroom house.
Because you've got, it's a big family, isn't it?
It's a very big family, but we built up another house just opposite the second house. There is lots of like place you can build up your own. So
So what, who built this house?
The main one, the build-up club.
The club built,
club,
yeah.
And the second one, build-up my father.
Your dad did it?
Yeah, dad, yeah.
So your dad was a very hard-working man, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was really very hard-working man, no doubt. He's still alive. He's 85 now, and he's relaxing, enjoying the retired life.
When you're at Royal Kolkata Golf Club, you're in the staff headquarters. Your kid going to school, as you say, your dad's making sure you go to school. You must have been watching people playing golf.
Always.
Want to play golf, and before you actually got to play golf.
See, my school time was like 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock. So I was wake up early morning, whatever I do, homework, I just finish my homework and then start, I'm going to play practice. If I'm not practicing, I'm just sitting, somebody practicing, and I'm going there and sitting behind them or him, whatever, so some pros. They're practicing together, like five pros, they're practicing together. So I'm just sitting behind them and then watching the shot, how do they hit the shot, and, you know, driver, how do they do putting and everything. So I'm just focusing, I'm just looking. And then after I'm finished school, I came and I'm starting practicing also. So at that time, I have a one club only, pitching wedge.
How old are you now?
That time I was like 10, I think.
So 10 years old, first time you get a club in your
life? No. When I start playing, I was 6, 7 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get the golf club? Someone from the golf?
See, the golf club I can get easily because I live there. So everybody playing, there is so many clubs. So I can take some of friend clubs and start hitting. But I don't have any my own clubs because it's very hard to get club. Obviously, you have to pay lots of money to buy clubs. So
you get this club 6, 7 years old, you start hitting it, then you're watching the professionals.
Mm-hmm. Even my elder brother, he was a professional golfer. So he's right now 50 years old. So he was playing Indian Tour. So when he was playing, I'm always with him. He's 10 years older than me. Yeah. So when I'm 10, he's 20. So
he was someone else. So you learned from the pros, you learned from your brother.
Brother, yeah.
And in terms of work ethic, you must have learned from your dad.
Yeah, no doubt. Because he's a very hardworking man. So obviously, I learned so many good things from him.
So in terms of now learning the game a little bit more, were you allowed to use the facilities at the golf club? Or I heard stories that you had to go in by candlelight and...
No. That's a fake story, to be honest.
Is it? Yeah. I want to know the truth. I want to hear the real SSP Chaurasia.
See, we live there inside the golf course. So I'm practicing like whole day. If I'm not going school, I'm practicing whole day. So if I'm going school, I came like 4:30. So I'm start practicing like after 4:30 till like, you know, 6:30 till dark. So after practicing, I'm sitting outside green, just outside the green, maybe sitting like 1 hour, chatting someone. So somebody, I don't know, they noticed, like, you know, I was sitting there and so someone just take out the story, oh, SSP, he's practicing in the night time on the green, put on the candle. I say, oh my God. I say, no, I'm not doing all this thing. I was sitting late night, like 6, 7, 8 o'clock till, but I'm not practicing because it's fully dark. I cannot see anything. How can I'm practicing? So, yeah.
So that's a fable. That's a made up story. Mm-hmm. So you're practicing now, as you said, you start at 6, 10, you're watching the pros. When did you start thinking, this is the game for me, this is the life for me.
When I was 14, so I talked to my mom. I said, Mom, I don't think so. I'm very good for the study, so I think I'm turning pro. I said, my mom is shocked. What are you doing? No, that's a very wrong decision. Please don't do it. I said, no, I have to play golf, professionally golf. I said, how do you play? You don't have a money. You don't have any sponsor, no support. How? We don't have any money to support you. So that's a very tough. I say, whatever, but I'm just... maybe next 2 years I'm getting turned pro. My mom say, okay, then you do practice, hard work. I say, okay. So, and at that time, I don't have a golf set. I don't have a ball, nothing. So finally, I met one of the member. He's a member of Royal Kolkata Golf Club. His name, Neil Law. So he was helping me. He's giving clubs and balls so you can practice whatever you...
Why did he do that? Just because he knew
he knew me. Because he knew me and I told him, look, I don't have anything. So please help me and I can do something for you. Like I can do caddy, So I do caddy for him sometime. And my brother also, he's also doing sometime caddy with him. That's why they helped me.
So you're 14, you've quit school?
Yeah.
And now from what? How many hours a day are you practicing?
I'm practicing whole day, like start like 9 o'clock till evening. I just go for the lunch, like 30 minutes or 40 minutes, finish lunch and then again start practicing.
And how quickly did you improve?
Within a year, I'm ready. Within a year, like when I'm 14, 15, 16, I'm ready for 16, but I don't have a money to go play, you know? So I start caddying a little bit, earning money to save, you know? And then when I was 17, I said, no, I have to go now. So when I was 17, I turned pro and I'm going to Q school.
So for the Indian tour.
Indian tour, yeah.
So the way I hear it is your dad was still maybe a bit against it, but your mom was...
Always. My dad always against me because he know because he's earning, he's the main guy. He's earning money. So he say, how? Like, I know you're going to play golf, but how do you play? Like, you don't have a sponsor, nothing. And my mom, she's supporting a little bit, but she also thinking, oh, how do I support my son? And so that's a tough situation, to be honest. That time was a really bad time. but my hard work is everything doing good.
Because you must be this young man who, as you say, is determined to become a professional golfer, but you feel like there's this barrier in the way. You need the money to get going, and where's that going to come from? So how did you get on
that
road?
So my mom, I talked to my mom, so I said, I'm going to Q school, I need some money. He said, okay. So my save, what I don't know how much she saved the money. So she gave me like basically $250 she was giving me, and some money giving my brother. So whatever money, it's like total 20,000 rupees, which is like $400-$500. So.
And to put that in perspective, when you're caddying, how much a day are you earning as a caddy?
I think 100 rupees a day. One round caddy, I get the 100 rupees, which is now $2, less than $2.
So less than $2 a day. Yeah. So to her to give you $200, to, you know, that's a big sum of money, isn't it?
Yeah, so $200 for her, it's really big money, yes.
Yes. Yeah. But she obviously believed in you?
I think she was believed. That's why she giving to me. Yeah.
But did you feel then pressure? Because, you know, your mum's giving you this money that your family maybe can't really afford.
See, I remember the first tournament was the Patna. Play, I'm making cut. I make some money, like 3,700 rupees, which is like $50 if I compare to now. So I earn $50, I'm very happy, and I call my mom, I say, I'm making money. So everyone very happy, and then the next, that was the last tournament, 1997, that was the last tournament I was getting. And the next year, like 1998, I have to go Q school. If I make qualified, then I can play the main tour. And in 1998, I was in Q school, I make the cut, and then making some money, some tournament. So still I have some money to play tournament, and immediately playing back-to-back two tournament right after Q school. And I'm lose all the both tournament I miscut. So the money is finished. Money is gone. So I'm again zero.
So now what?
So now I'm coming back home, and again I'm starting chatting with mom. I say, mom, money is finished. I need a money. My mom say, why I'm giving? I don't have a money. How I'm giving money now? I don't have any money. So she say, okay.
Did you feel at this point maybe the dream could be over?
No.
Never thought.
But yeah, I know only thing is giving me trouble the money. That was the main thing. But I'm not giving up. So I talked to my mom. I said, mom, I'm going to play one tournament now. Give me a chance. I'm going to play one tournament. If I'm playing good, it's fine. Otherwise, I'm not playing anymore. I just say, my mom say, looking me, I say, sure? I say, yeah, I'm sure. So mom gave me like some money, like I can play three tournaments. So I'm very happy. So, and mom said, this is your last. Next time you don't ask for me money. This is your last chance. I said, okay. So I was play tournament at Jeev Home Club, Chandigarh. And I was missed by one shot tournament. And whole night I couldn't sleep because I was just thinking, how can I miscut, like, you know, one shot. And then the next tournament is like 4 hours drive from the Jeev house, so some other club, different city. I've been there. I was playing practicing round and everything, and course feeling so tough because it's lots of trees inside the golf course and high. You have to hit like over the trees most of the shots. So Gaganjit Bhullar from Kapurthala. So I'm going his golf. I was playing his home course. Finally, I play tournament and making cut and making some money. So again, I call mom, say, finally, I make some money. So, and then next tournament, again, the Chandigarh, the Jeev home course. And I was making, again, make cut. So I have some money, I can play next 4-5 tournaments. And my confidence also getting a little bit better, you know. I have money to play next 5 events, so I'm very happy.
So was that the turning point?
That's the turning point, yeah. And then after that, there is a tournament in Delhi. It's one of the biggest events. It's called Sail Open. Like the winner get car and some 400,000 rupees. And that tournament, I was finished like top 23. So I get like huge amount of money, like 30,000 rupees, which is some big money for me that time. I said, wow, now.
So now you feel set.
Yeah.
So you spoke to mom, spoke to dad.
Yeah, and I spoke to her. I said, I'm earning enough money to play now 1 year. So I'm very happy. So when I'm going back, I'll give all the monies, whatever mom and give it to me. I'll return the all money and then start from there. Still I'm going up.
So
that's a beginning. That's a turning point.
So in a way, when you're playing these events, the Indian Open now, and you're playing on the European Tour, and people talk about pressure, was that pressure the greatest pressure you felt back in the day when you're just...
That pressure, I think, more tougher, you know? Because that time, I don't have equipment. I don't have anything, no sponsor, nothing.
You're not using your clubs even?
No. That time was I'm borrowing the Neil Law clubs. So first 1 year, I'm using his club. After 1 year, I'm buying the new shirt and then I give it to him. I said, please, thank you. And thank you for the help.
When did you actually get your first set that you actually
1998.
Bought?
Yeah, after I play his club like 6 months or something. After 6 months, I'm earning enough money to buy a club and everything. So I say, okay.
I mean, it's an incredible feeling. Yeah. When you won that Indian Open, when we talked about the round and you won the 2017, you won $294,000. What does that money kind of mean? I mean, can you put that into the perspective of the SSP Chaurasia of 1998?
Well, I'll keep all the money. I invest very well. And to be honest, when the money coming, my confidence every time getting better and better and develop and develop. So that's how I'm here.
And also, I take it you've paid the money back that you owed your mum from that day, and now maybe a little bit more because you've bought a couple of properties.
Oh, yeah. I buy a couple of property, yes. Yeah.
In Calcutta?
Calcutta, yeah. And Delhi also, yes. Yeah. I have a 2-flat close to DLF golf course.
And when you go to Royal Kolkata Golf Club, which is obviously still your home club, and, you know, you were a caddy there, and I know you make a point to visit the caddies, that you're a hero to them, aren't you?
Well, lots of young people, young boys, they really respect me and always came and asking for how to teach me, please, how to chipping and putting and whatever. They really respect me. I'm also respected them. So, yeah, I'm feeling good when I'm going. That's why I'm going every day RCGC, even the Monday golf course close. Even on Monday, I'm also going and sitting, chatting with them. I'm feeling very good when I'm talking with them and chatting, whatever.
Because when you come from where you have come from, you don't forget your roots, do you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Still, I'm not. Why I'm forgetting? I know where I'm coming from. So.
But where you are going is all around the world now playing golf. How hard was it? You won the Indian Masters back in 2008.
Yeah.
That was an event also that propelled you onto the European Tour, because of the European Tour co-sanctioned event. How hard was it for you adjusting to golf outside of India? Because had you played outside of India much before that?
Yeah. I was start Asian Tour playing 2006. So 2 years I'm already playing outside country. obviously I have some experience, so, but the Europe, it's totally different because I heard lots of things like very windy, the weather is very cold, raining all the time, so.
Were they right?
That's the right thing. I said, how I'm playing then? And I was thinking, so I'm just chatting with my friend. I said, tell me, what do you think? We should go play there or just focusing Asia? He said, no, no, you have to go. I said, let's try a few tournaments and see how it works. And at that time, I remember when I was win the tournament, the Gautam Thapar, he came and I said, he was asking me, you going to play Europe? I said, yes. Okay, I'll be sponsoring you. And then I get the big sponsor from the Gautam Thapar, 3 years. He's a member of Asian Tour board member.
Uh-huh.
2008, 9, 10. 10, 3 years he was supporting me. And obviously, the 1 year I have to, you get used to, like, all the courses are different grass, different, you know, climate and everything, different food. So the 1 year take time to get used to, and after 1 year, I say, no, I'm playing Europe now. That's how it starts.
And then you become an international player. Just a few things I want to ask. First of all, SSP Chaurasia became SSP Chaurasia. The O went to an A. How come your name changed?
See, to be honest, original name is Chaurasia, but when I was making my all the documents, so they mistake, make it A. So if I change A to O, it's a long process, to be honest. So that's why I'm just carrying the A. I thought if I'm changing, they will ask me again so many questions and so many papers. So I can change, but I don't have a time to do all this thing, you know. So that's, I said, no, okay, I'm carrying Chaurasia, C-H-A. So
you kind of changed your name because of some bureaucratic mistakes, basically.
Well, I can change it later.
You can change it back again.
Yeah.
Okay. To win the Indian Masters got you on the European Tour, but you've done that 4 times in India. I mean, it's an incredible record that you have with golf in India. How hard, though, have you found that to take that game onto a world stage outside into Europe? You talked about the different grass, the different food, the different climate. You're a person, I think, who is very determined, got great self-belief. Do you feel that this is something that you want to now overcome, to become a player who can master the conditions wherever you are in the world?
Well, when I was play 1 year, like after 1 year, I'm really feeling bad, you know, I'm not doing well. Why I'm going to play Europe and I'm wasting money? I think if I'm playing Asia, I can making lots of money. So my friends say, yeah, then you have to play whole time in Asia. You don't go the next level. If you go the next level, you have to go and fight them. If you not fight, you cannot get anything. Think about your bad days and just go and play. So that time my friend, he was helping me a lot, to be honest. Otherwise, maybe I'm not playing Europe. After win, maybe I'm focusing Asia and I'm playing Asia, you know. So he was always talking to me positive and, you know, saying the good thing. You have to go and play there. You have to beat. You can beat it because you already beat them. The Europeans are here and this is one of the tough courses. And you win the tournament, so that's not a tough thing. You can go and do it. You know, you just take time to used to.
And that's what you've done, really. You fought against the money problem when you start. Then you become a winner on the Indian Tour. Then you win on the Asian Tour. Then you win European Tour.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an incredible story, isn't it? Because you've lived it. Does it feel as special living it is for people hearing
about
it?
Sometimes I'm feeling when I was thinking like my bad days, where I'm coming from and where I'm sitting now. So I feel really very feel happy and proud of myself, to be honest.
And so he should. He's a little man with a huge heart. He's yet to play in a major, and I know it's something he's determined to do. And even though this podcast has been released on the day of his 40th birthday, happy birthday, SSP, listening to him and hearing the determination that's taken him this far, who would dare to dismiss his chances? Next week on The Round, the chance to live and breathe an unlikely European Tour victory for Anthony Kang. Nobody in Series 1 tells it like Kang when it comes to the round that changed his career.
that's what happens when you're in contention and you're swinging well, a massive upper, and everything in your body is just, you know, going 1,000 miles an hour within you. You're nervous, but you're alert. And it's almost as if you can pick out that one grain of grass, that one ripple in the water, or that little leaf blowing the tree. It just felt like I was high, basically.
Anthony's a golfer who calculated each shot by the dollar it would earn him, and on the victory that took him to another level. It really is a step-by-step journey of those 18 holes and what it takes to cross the finishing line.
Thank you for listening to The Round with Richard Kaufman. You can follow us and get in touch via Twitter at The Round Podcast, on Instagram, Podcast The Round, and on Facebook at The Round Richard Kaufman. And we'd appreciate you taking the time to rate and review us on iTunes. The Round Podcast with Richard Kaufman, in association with IMG Audio.